let's just turn to the Word of God tonight. Perhaps we can open our Bibles to Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40. You know, last week, we just began looking at some things to do with the eagle. And I just remind us some of the things that the eagle's known for. I mean, you can find these all in scriptures, but the eagle has a swiftness of flight. And it's able, I mean, like many birds, they're able just to change direction, and they can just move around in the air. But the in the book of Deuteronomy 28, it talks about, it makes reference to the swiftness of the eagle. The verse that we're going to look at tonight in Isaiah 40, verse 31, talks about the strength of the eagle. It says that we shall rise, we renew our strength and mount up with wings like eagles. You know, the eagle has a strength in its wings. Actually, one of the scriptures we looked at last week talked about the strong feathers and the strong pinions that the eagle has in its wings. Then, again, this verse tells us about in Isaiah 40, tells us that the eagle has an ability to mount up high, to rise with the currents. In mounting up high, another scripture, particularly in Job 39, it talks about nesting high in the rocks, making its nest up in the rocks, up on the mountain. You know, where no predator can get it, where no other animals are there to attack the eggs or to attack the young. You know, this eagle has the ability to make her nest right up high. Then Job 39 says that the eagle has an excellent vision. She's able to spy prey a long way off for her young. I touched on the wings. You know, Ezekiel 17:3 says about the great wingspan that the eagle has. Then Solomon observed the eagle in Proverbs 30:19, where he talks about its peculiarity of flight. So that's just some of the things that the eagle's known for. And one other thing we touched on last week was that the eagle has, whether it's an ability or whether it's just something that it does naturally, every springtime it sheds its feathers. And as it grows new plumage, it takes on the appearance of a young bird.
Ezekiel
17:3. So this eagle has the ability to produce new plumage and take on the appearance of a younger bird. And that's what the psalmist alludes to in Psalm 103, verse 5. It says that, you know, your youth shall be renewed like the eagle. Well, you know, as we looked last week, and I said that's just some of the things we looked about the eagle, we began looking at the a series of studies which I've titled On Eagle's Wings. And last week as we was looking at Exodus 19, verse 4, where it says, God in that scripture in Exodus, he says, look, he's talking to Moses, and he says, you saw what I did to the Egyptians. He says, how I bore you on eagle's wings to myself. You know, as they were coming up out of Egypt. Now we know, and I think I said this last week, you know, the children of Israel didn't literally get on the back of an eagle's wings. But he says, your deliverance, your coming up out of Egypt was like the way the eagle carries her young. He says, and I bore you on eagle's wings, I brought you to myself. He said, I brought you to that place of refuge, that place of safety. Actually, when God was speaking with Moses, he was actually up the Mount Sinai receiving the commandments, or just about to receive what we know as the Ten Commandments. And God's dealing with it. I brought you out. He says, I delivered you. And that's really what we looked at last week. We're talking about the wings of deliverance, how God delivers us. You know, when he delivered his children, he brought them to himself. He set them apart for himself. He made them a nation to be his very own. You know, Peter writing to the church in his first letter, 1 Peter 2, verse 9. He says, you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. You are his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light. There Peter says, God delivered you out of the kingdom of darkness. He's brought you into the kingdom of his light. And you are his own special. You are a special people to himself. You know, God looks at us like that. We are his chosen people, his own nation, his own special people. And he brought us to himself on eagle's wings. He delivered us out of sin. Perhaps we don't quite look at it like that, being carried out on eagle's wings, but God talks about deliverance as being born on the wings of an eagle. In Psalm 27, we're going to look at Isaiah 40 in a minute, but in Psalm 27, verse 5, it's David says these words. He says, in the time of trouble, he shall set me high upon a rock. Well, that's what the eagle does. You know, she lifts her young to the heights, to the safety of the rock, the nest in the high places. In the time of trouble, says, yeah, I think that psalm says something about being hidden. Then it says, he shall set me high upon a rock. You know, like the eagle, David knew the deliverance of God in his times of trouble. You know, he had a few. He had plenty. You know, whenever you read through, and I like reading through the books of Samuel, because as you go through Samuel, you see David gets, not of his own making, but he gets himself in trouble, mainly because Saul's hunting him, his own men turn against him. And
but is it the case that he gets himself in trouble?
He does get himself in trouble.
Or does trouble and trouble follow him?
Trouble follows him. He gets himself in trouble as well, obviously. But, you know, that same man, David, who said in Psalm 27, he says, look, he says, the Lord lifts me high. He takes me to the higher places. He lifts me up on the rock. He sets me on the rock. He says in a few psalms later, in Psalm 34, in verse 19, he says, many are the afflictions of the righteous. He says, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. Yes, he got himself in trouble, but he knew that when he got himself in those positions, like an eagle, God would calm and lift him out of the affliction. And, well, let's move on to Isaiah. First, look, the verse we're going to look at tonight. In Isaiah 40, verse, perhaps we can just read from verse 29. It says, he gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. You know, we just touched on David. You know, he knew what it was to go through his problems. And as you go through the scripture, you see there are many like him. Paul knew what it was to go through troubles and trials, and so did others in the scriptures, you know. That's one of the good things about the Word of God. You know, it doesn't just, like many of the biographies and things you can buy and read, or perhaps not so much the biographies, it's the autobiographies, it's the ones that are written by the people writing about their own lives. You know, they tell you all the marvellous things, they tell you all the wonderful things, they tell you how everything was lovely and rosy and great, but the Bible tells us the tough times as well. Perhaps things that we want to gloss over and push by, we want to forget, we want to quickly skip by those in our life story. You know, the Bible tells us all the problems that people like David had, people like Paul had, the issues that others had in the scriptures. You know, when we go through those trials, those afflictions, when we have those troubles, that can leave us feeling very weak. Can leave us feeling weary and drained. A little bit like a soldier that's coming back from the war, he's got a few battle scars. He's got a few wounds. No, he's not been completely knocked out, but you know, he's scarred. He might have got caught or something with I was going to say a sword, but they perhaps don't fight swords so much nowadays. But, you know what I mean? He's got a bit of nick in his armour or something like that. A little bit of shrapnel or something. You know, he's wounded. He's got a few, but he's got the medals, but he's got the scars as well to prove he was there. You know, it perhaps makes him feel a bit weak and weary and drained. But it says here in this beautiful passage in Isaiah, it says, "He gives power to the weak. And to those who have no might, he increases strength." Mm-hmm. You know, those that have been left weakened, those that have been left wearied, those that have gone through the trial, you know, soon find that God's power comes upon them and lifts them and strengthens them, energizes them. You know, many a time when I've been perhaps feeling weak and weary or discouraged, and you know, I've either shut myself away in my bedroom and, you know, prayed or read the word or just even put on a worship CD or something like that. You know, and you soon find that, you know, as you just spend that time, you know, almost like the eagle, you know, the Lord comes up and lifts us up out of the troubles. You know, and I've proved it many times that God's just strengthened me, you know, in those times of weakness, in those times of weariness. You know, when I feel like giving up, perhaps, and, you know, there's the strength that comes from the Lord. You know, Paul had first-hand experience of that. Perhaps we could turn up, keep your finger in Isaiah, we're going to come back. Let's just look at what the scripture says in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, a very familiar scripture. In 2 Corinthians 12, really verses 9 and 10, you know, Paul had this first, you know, he bore some battle scars. You know, he'd been, and you've only got to read his own testimony, you know, he'd been shipwrecked, he'd been beaten, he'd been betrayed, he'd been let, everything had sort of come Paul's way. He'd had many trials and afflictions. You know, and this is just another episode in his life where, you know, he's going through the mill a little bit. You know, these words, you know, God speaks these words to him in verse 9. It says, look, it says, and he said to me, he says, "My grace is sufficient for you. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong." You know, there's two words in this these two verses here. It's found in verse 9. It says, my strength is made perfect. You know, these two words, made perfect, you know, have the understanding of, really the meaning of making complete. It's to bring something to an end. That's what it is, to be made perfect. Other times it's translated as to come to maturity. But the word in this verse here, it talks about coming to an end, to perfect it. You know, when an artist perfects his picture, or he perfects it, he brings it, he puts the finishing touches to it. And that's it. It can go up on display. Well, whenever we do anything, you know, there's the finishing touches, whether it's baking a cake or it's doing some other type of work, you know, we bring our work to an end. And that's what this word is. You know, strength comes to put an end to weakness. Another idea that this word has is to be at its most effective. You know, strength is at its most effective when we are weak. You know, my strength is made perfect in weakness, the Lord said. But Paul went on, he says, most gladly I will rather boast in my infirmities. You know, I take pleasure in my infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in person. Not because they bring him down. He's not glorying in his troubles and afflictions here so that because of what they do to him. But it's rather that because he knows that when he's going through those things, he knows the power of Christ will be there. And God will strengthen him. God will raise him up. You know, and it's an opportunity for a testimony. You know, somebody once said, you never have a testimony unless you have the test. There's no testimony without a test. You can never have a testimony that you've come through something unless you actually go through something. You know, Paul here, yes, he knew what it was to have afflictions. He knew what it was to have troubles. But he also had the testimony because he knew what it was. Because when he was down, you know, the Lord lifted him. Strength came. You know, the wings of strength lifted him to a place of height, to a place of safety. Then this same man, Paul, could write to the church in Ephesus in Ephesians 3, verse 13 to 16. Now I'm going to... I'll read these words and I want to give you my paraphrase of it. Ephesians 3, verse 13 to 16. For this reason therefore I ask that you do not lose heart at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. For this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man. Now I'll give you what my paraphrase of it. You know, here Paul's saying, he says, don't lose heart. Don't faint. Don't quit. Don't get weary. Because of the troubles, the trials, the tribulations, the afflictions that may come. He says, I'm praying for you that you will be strengthened with might in the inner man by the Spirit of God. Mm-hmm. You know, in times of trouble, Paul says to this church, he says, yes, they'll come. He says, I'm praying that God will strengthen you. He'll pour out his might in you by the Spirit of God, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory be strengthened with might through his spirit in the inner man. That's the wings of strength that come and lift us. Let's carry on with what Isaiah was saying here in our chapter. It says he gives power to the weak. To those who have no might, he increases their strength. So when we are weak, we can know his strength. We have his power. His enabling. His strength. But then he goes on, he says, even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. And it's not just the elderly and the aged that get weary and tired. It could affect the young as well. So look, he says, even the youths will get weary. They'll faint and get weary. Young men will utterly fall. You know, I never really considered it like this until as I was preparing this message. You know, even Jesus got weary at times. You know, you don't have to tell them up, but you find in John 4 verse 6, it says in the scriptures there, it says, he was weary because of the journey. And he sat down by the well. You know, and as he sat down by the well, you know, the power of God came upon him and enabled him, strengthened him. Because what happened then is, because there was an appointment there he needed to keep. A woman that he needed to, her needs needed to be met. And she came out to fetch water from the well, and he was able to minister to that Samaritan woman. And even though he was weary and he was resting by the well, there was an important job that needed to be done. And I don't know about us, but you know, if we've been on a journey and we come in and we're weary, you know, perhaps the last thing we want is people to have to minister to. You know, just want to relax and sit down and, you know, shut out all that's been going on. But here Jesus, yes, he's wearied because of the journey. He sits down by the well. This woman comes out to draw water, and he begins to minister one-on-one with her. And then, it's not long, he's got them all coming out of the town to meet him. They're all coming. In actual fact, it says there, I think he stayed there a few days, ministering to that area. I'm just going to turn it up. There's a verse in that chapter. Now, while he's talking with the woman, the disciples come back from the town. In verse 27, it says, at this point, his disciples came and they marveled that he talked with a woman. It was forbidden. Jewish men weren't meant to talk to women unless they were their own wives. They were kept segregated. Jews certainly didn't talk with Samaritans. The Bible tells us that. You know, there's an ongoing feud between them. The woman alluded to that. He said, well, you know, you Jews say one thing, you know, we say something else, and you know, we don't know who's right, who's wrong. But there was this, and it says, they marveled that he talked with a woman. But then she went, and he said to the disciples, he said, I'll have food to eat of which you do not know. You know, he received spiritual strength Yes, he was weary from the journey. He was hungry because that's why the disciples went into the town. They went to buy food. They went to buy lunch. They went whatever it was, you know, that they needed. But Jesus received supernatural strength. And then he could say to his, look, he says, boys, he says, look, I don't need the bread. I've had food. I've got food already. And he goes, my food is to do the will of him that sent me. You know, that's where my strength comes from. It's doing the Father's will. Then we read in another account in Luke's Gospel chapter 8, verses 22 and 23. You know, Jesus has been ministering all day. In Mark's account of this passage tells us it was the same day that Jesus taught them about the parable of the sower. He told them about the mustard seed. He was teaching them on the principles of faith in that chapter. And he says, look, he says, you know, the kingdom of God's like a man who plants seed in the ground. He said, it's the sower that works out and sows the seed. And he's been ministering all day, and it says that same day at evening in Mark. But in Luke's Gospel 8, 22 and 23, it tells us that Jesus became weary and he fell asleep in the back of a boat while they were crossing the lake. He got weary. You know, and I'm sure that sleep, that was natural sleep. You know, he fell asleep, he rested. But in the middle of his sleep, he was disturbed by these few disciples that said, Master, don't you care that we're perishing? Because the storm was blowing, the winds, the waves were coming in the boat. They were panicking, you know, they were trying to bail out the waters. And they wake him up and they said, Jesus, don't you care? You know, we're perishing here. You know, we're not going to make it. And Jesus stood up there.
Traumatized.
A man that had been teaching all day long. He's just trying to get 5 minutes. A few minutes rest. Because he's weary. And stands up against the storm. Speaks peace to the situation. Yeah. So as Isaiah says here, he says, look, it's even the youths, you'll faint and be weary. You know, if Jesus got weary, you know, young people will as well. Old people will. Every person gets weary, especially when we're about the things of God. You know, I've found that Sundays can be very wearying. You know, and I very often, on a Sunday afternoon, will sit down and become so weary. Because especially in the morning, especially if you've been ministering or you've been giving out. You know, we all get tired and weary. We get a few battle scars along the way. But we can know the power of the wings that will lift us and give us strength. Because then Isaiah goes on, he says, the youth shall be faint and weary, the young men shall utterly fall, but those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Those who wait. Not necessarily being still. That's not just, it's not necessarily sitting back and doing nothing. That's what we mean when we tell someone to wait a minute. We mean, hang on, stop. But the word wait, especially as it's used in the scriptures, means to eagerly look to. You know, look to God. To rely on, to put our total trust and confidence in.
Confidence.
The closest we get to understanding the meaning of the word is, we use it when we're talking about waiting on tables, like a waiter would. Now, when we were last year, when we were in Egypt, we were in. Actually, someone was on the boat. we had a designated waiter for our table, a young man. He was a Muslim man. His name was Mohammed. But he was assigned to our table, and he was good. You know, he didn't miss a thing. You needed something, he was there. When you, and we had to teach him some of our English culture, because our table, because then we told him that when our knives and forks are together, we finished. That's how we do it in England. Knives and forks together, we finished. Then you can take the plate. If you put your knife and fork down, because perhaps you're thinking about, well, I don't want anything at the moment, but I might have something else from the table. And as soon as he saw the plate empty, you know, he'd be there to move it. And, you know, he was eagerly looking on the table to perform his duty, to do his job. And really, that's what it means here, to wait. Those who wait on those who eagerly look upon him. Now, it might mean that we need to, so it might not necessarily mean being completely still. It might mean that we are just in worship. Worshiping him. You know, praising him. We might be pouring out our hearts, but we are waiting on him. We're looking for him. We're eagerly looking for him. You know, we're relying on him. We're trusting in him. We're putting our confidence in him. Because we know that when we're weary or we need strength, you know, that type of waiting will lift us. You know, that type of reliance on him will cause us to rise up in strength. You know, I've said this quite a few times, but I'll say it again. You know, the night my mother died, we spent actually in this room here on the Saturday morning, and she died in the very early hours. But the family, we all sat around in this room for pretty much most of the day. You know, I think probably about 5 o'clock or something like that, I got home to my house, and you know, none of us had slept. And although we were just probably running on adrenaline, and I went home and I just went to the bed. I didn't really say much to Jane or anybody. Just went home, laid on the bed, and couldn't sleep. But as it happened, my Bible was on the table next to the bed, so I picked my Bible up, and I didn't really know what I was reading. I just opened it up at a page and began to read. But as I began to read, as I began to just spend that time with God alone and without anybody else there, you know, strength came into my being. You know, I began to rise in strength. You know, that time of waiting on him, you know, caused me to rise up, caused me to renew my strength. You know, then, yeah, really was like this, you know, they shall mount up with wings like eagles. It was almost as if I was lifted from the plane I was on, lifted up into another plane, onto another level. And that's really what Isaiah is saying. He said, look, those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. You know, the eagle is relied upon by her young. You know, her young need her. She looks out for them. She feeds them. You know, she teaches them. You know, we looked at this, touched on this last week, about teaching the young to fly. You know, how, you know, she'd carry them on her wings and then she'd let them fall. But she didn't let them fall too far, because she was right underneath them to pick them up and lift them up again. She teaches the young, you know, the eagle. It observes and it can see things that we can't see. You know, it observes where the warm currents are. because it knows it gets into those warm currents, it will rise up. You know that eagles need their mother to teach them that. And our strength comes from the Lord. You know, we need Him. We need to rely on Him. We need to wait upon Him. He increases our strength. He bears us up on His wings of strength. One more scripture to finish with tonight. Let's turn to the Psalms. I think we've already touched on the early part of the Psalm. Psalm 27. You know, in this psalm, David says what we read earlier on. He says, look, in the time of trouble, you know, He's going to hide me in His pavilion, in the secret place of His tabernacle, He shall hide me. He shall set me high on the rock. But at the end of the chapter, verses 13 and 14, it says this. He says, look, I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. And He shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. You know, I would have lost heart. You know that word there? To lose heart is to become weary and faint. You know, yeah, the youth shall grow weary and faint. You know, we can grow weary and faint. You know, this whole psalm, David's talking about, you know, God being his salvation from times of trouble. You know, he recounts some of the things, you know, that the enemies come against him. But here he says, look, he says, I would have quit. I would have lost heart. I would have grown weary and tired unless I believed that I would have seen your goodness. And he says, because I waited on you. Well, he's encouraging us. I actually think he's encouraging himself. But he says, you know, like it says in Psalm 100, he says, bless the Lord, O my soul. I think this is what David's doing here. Yeah, he says, yeah, I would have lost heart unless I believed that I would see God's goodness in the land of the living. I'm sure he's speaking this to himself. You know, wait on the Lord. You know, be of good courage. He shall strengthen your heart. He will cause you to mount up on the wings of strength. You know, I want to next time I'm going to share on the third of the series, which really just want to take that thought where we're finishing tonight, Psalm 27. About waiting on the Lord. Just take that a little bit further. You know, as we're going to look at the wings of rest. That God gives us rest. You know, as we wait upon Him. Yes, He strengthens us, but He gives us His rest as well. So we'll leave that for next time. Amen.